All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
We put the picture's name on everything.
Oh, look, he's got a billion toys.
Baseball's the t-shirt.
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run?
Baseball's the lunchbox.
I have to possess this comic.
Baseball's the breakfast cereal.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Almighty Isis?
Baseball's the coloring book.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Shut up, kid. You weren't even born when Star Wars came out.
You fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start some shit? I'll fucking take all you want!
This is... Oh, wait, we're not doing that anymore either.
We haven't done that in like 40 episodes.
This is OG, and this is Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Big OG stuff.
That's right. With me tonight in studio, Big Kev.
Hi.
And absent from the studio, like normal these days...
What?
Mr. Fantastic.
What are you talking about?
Just saying he's been absent a lot lately.
You're here, aren't you, Fantastic?
You betcha, Kev.
See, he's right there.
Oh. My bad.
It's a funny gag. Like, for three people.
For like, yeah, a handful of
and,
small
and
people.
And two of them are in this room, and one of them is in here tonight.
Right, so there you go.
There it is.
All right.
Episode 90, The Rise of Captain America.
The Rise
Let's just address
Captain
this.
America.
Let's just address this nonsense right out of the gate. Right off the gate here. So, Marvel Comics revives Captain America, which is a lie. Because it's not Captain America.
Right.
It's not Steve Rogers, the guy from the 40s who took the super soldier serum.
Mm-hmm.
It's Bucky, his on again, dead again sidekick, who apparently was in the possession of the Russians.
Right.
Who turned him into the Winter Soldier, who I guess they thawed him out whenever they need him for special operations.
Right. He was like
something.
Cryogenically frozen along with Wesley Snipes and Sylvester Stallone for.
Right. And continuity
years.
And right. readability at Marvel.
Right.
So,
right.
That said, a press release was issued to the Associated Press that said, well, basically what I just said, that Bucky is the new Captain America. He has a new costume, which is terrible.
But he does have the original shield.
Okay, so he has the shield, but he's also packing a gun.
Well, that's because if you read that press release, they also say that Bucky was not injected with the super serum.
Right.
So
right.
He actually is just a dude with the shield. And they go on to say, well, he's pretty jacked up from all of his escapades and he's got some banging kick-ass weapons.
I guess
but
he's
it's kinda
trained.
Like, who gives a shit?
It's. Have you seen the costume?
No.
It's all black.
Okay.
Well, you saw it. Remember that we did the poster review?
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right.
So it's all black. Except for, like, the chest area,
right.
Which is red, white, and blue, and I guess the head is also.
And that's the new Captain America costume.
Yeah.
Okay.
Being worn by Bucky.
Right.
Who's now Captain America.
Right.
Joe Quesada, they also say in the press release that they say that killing off Captain America last year seemed to give new life to readers. Now, that's not true. It didn't give new life to readers of Captain America.
No.
What it did was perk up people who read Captain America growing up and going, why on earth would they kill Captain America?
Exactly.
I never talked to one person. I go to, 90% of the conventions in the country? Every person I talked to about this topic when it was happening and when it was rumored to be happening all said the same thing. How can they kill off Captain America? After, 178 years of being a comic book hero, Steve Rogers, how can they kill him off? So it's not that people are excited about the Captain America character. It was the controversy of them killing him off, especially the fact that they chose to make that death their exclamation point on their awful Civil War series.
Well, yeah. This is just more post-Civil War drivel.
Joe Quesada says in the press release, not since the 1940s have we seen Cap being this popular. It's not Cap.
Right.
A, it's not Cap being popular. B, it's just the controversy. The controversy of his death, the controversy of bringing Bucky back, the controversy of then making Bucky Captain America, and the controversy of changing an iconic costume, you know, into a just a... You know what I compare it to?
What?
Remember the Daredevil black and red and silver costume? That's what I compare this costume to.
Yeah, but at least that was still... still, what's his name? It was still Daredevil. Just a new costume.
Well, yeah, but it was a new bad costume. But you know what? Even if they had brought Steve Rogers back and put him in this costume, well, I would be just as upset. But it's kind of ridiculous.
But you know how it is. Whether or not it's the same guy or not, whenever they revive a character from the dead, you got to give him a shiny new costume.
You know what?
They did it with Supes.
It's fine. You want to update the... You know what? I appreciated the update of the costume in the Ultimates.
Okay.
So it was kind of the costume, but slightly updated variations on the costume. Maybe the headpiece was a bit more of a helmet and things like that. No problem with that at all. This is just a complete fantasy revision.
Well, you know who else was very upset about this?
Whom?
Stephen Colbert.
Yeah, I heard old Cup of Joe, who are we kidding?
Uh-huh.
Was on the Colbert Report.
He was. One of our listeners who goes by the moniker Vintage Opus online let me know, because apparently I had missed it, and obviously you've missed it, that Joe Q was on the Colbert Report. Stephen Colbert, very upset that he was not nominated as the new Captain America, but he will be running for president of the Marvel Universe.
See, and let me put this out there. This proves what a joke everybody thinks that this is.
Of course.
It's just, you know, it's, and of course, I'm sure Joe is eating it up, you know, well, any attention that he can draw.
His face on TV.
Yeah. And
he's like a superstar.
And to get his book sold and everything else. And I'm sure appearances on Howard Stern will, you know, will either have happened already or will happen where they can make fun of him too. All they do is bash him on that show as well.
Well, as they should.
It's ridiculous.
Well, yeah.
Colbert Report. I got no beef with the Colbert Report.
I got no beef with the Colbert Report either.
Fucking break. You know, the moment they hand off something to the Colbert Report, it's like, this can't possibly be a serious topic. And I'm not saying the world at large should take the replacement of Captain America as a serious topic. But, you know, for the sake of the people who it is important to, can we not make such a, you know... make a joke out of it. It's kind of sad, and I don't think it's funny. I don't think it's worth being funny about.
All right.
I'm just saying. Maybe that's me.
Well, is Quantum of Solace funny to you?
I wouldn't know, because I don't know what Quantum of Solace is.
Quantum of Solace is going to be the name of the next Bond film. It was taken from the name of a story written by Ian Fleming that appears in the collection For Your Eyes Only. So now the new film, which began filming, I guess, earlier this month or late last month, has an official name now. So there you go. Quantum of Solace.
Batman 676 by Grant Morrison, Tony Daniel, and Sandow Florea starts a new... ongoing sort of Batman storyline called Batman R.I.P. or Rest in Peace.
Obviously.
And of course, like all other series, this will change the Dark Knight forever and end someone's life. Who will live? Who will die? Who will be Batman? These questions will be answered in Batman Rest in Peace. And at least... the one good thing about it is that it looks like we at least get an Alex Ross Batman piece of art out of it, as the cover will be done by Alex Ross with, I guess, a variant cover also. He's also doing, Action Comics 684. I think he's doing the cover to that one, too.
Oh, all right.
So you get a new Batman piece of art and a new Superman piece of art.
Well, that's nice and
from
shiny.
Alex Ross.
And happy.
Yeah, they're both really nice, too. So it's exciting a little.
All right. How about Guillermo del Toro?
Oh, the guy who's wearing the Hellboy 3 Without Me t-shirt on the set of Hellboy 2?
Is that why is he wearing that?
That's what I heard. I heard really? He wants nothing to do with it.
Why? Is he that fed up with 2?
I don't know.
Or is it because he's in talks currently to direct the two Hobbit films that are coming out from New Line Cinema?
Shut up.
Along with Peter Jackson, who will be producing and creative supervising.
That's like two little hobbits right there.
That's perfect.
Two little round men with...
Well,
like,
not anymore. I'm Peter Jackson.
Well, yeah, but formerly.
He looks like... What's his name? He looks like Charlie from Lost, and what's his name from Lord of the Rings. Which hobbit was he? Perry. Merry?
Merry?
Yeah, I think so.
He looks like him, do you think?
Monahan, a little bit, now that he's lost all the weight.
Dominic Monaghan?
Yeah.
Guillermo del Toro.
He's the one that's in talks currently to direct 2 films.
I don't believe it.
Based on The Hobbit.
I don't believe it.
Why don't you believe it?
Because I don't believe Peter Jackson's not going to do it. So until I see it, I'm not going to believe that Peter Jackson's not going to do it.
Well, I think Peter Jackson doesn't actually want to direct. I think he only wants to produce and creative supervise. Mm. So if they have to replace Peter Jackson, I don't know that Guillermo del Toro is such a bad choice. I mean, he's proven his strengths in the geek world. He's proven his ability to handle odd-looking creatures.
Hellboy 3 Without Me. That's all what right. I heard.
All right.
I'm just saying.
Okay.
I think that would suck. The Hellboy 2 movie looks awesome.
It looks fantastic. You see the pictures online of Johan released earlier this week? The third member of of the little Abe Hellboy and...
You know what that group's called?
Yeah. It's eluding me right now.
BPRD?
Thank you, BPRD.
What does that stand for?
No idea. Paranormal Research Department.
Bureau Paranormal Research and Defense.
Ah, see? I knew the paranormal and research were in there. I got 2 out of 4. It's not bad.
DC Direct continues its wave of wonderful product releases. In September, they have a lot coming, including... The Batman black and white statue designed by George Perez.
Ooh, that should be nice.
Yes, I think they're quarterly now, it would seem.
They are really cranking those things out.
I know, sir.
Are they going to run out of artists eventually?
I don't think
so.
Who's
next?
I don't know who would be next. I got to talk to the guys. Got to talk to Brewer over at DC.
Well, we'll ask him at Toy Fair.
We'll probably see him at Toy Fair. JLA Build-A-Scene statue, which is basically the art of Ed Benes. As it appeared on the cover of Justice League of America number 7, they're basically coming out in pairs of 2, and then you build Red Tornado statue. So you kind of have the main characters there: Black Canary, Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, Green Lantern, Flash, and each comes with a piece. We've heard it before, and you build the Red Tornado. Statue.
Well, that's so nice.
Yeah, DC Direct. DC Direct also Sandman and Death 20th anniversary bookend set.
Oh, okay.
That's...
Now, they've done a Sandman. Oh, excuse me. They've done a Sandman bookend set.
Well, this is a new
before.
One.
I know.
It's actually
I know.
Really nice. Mike Locasio translates Mark Buckingham into 3D with that product. And the latest, while we're talking about DC Direct, the All-Star Action Figures Series 1 featuring distinctive interpretations from the All-Star books, All-Star Batman and Robin, All-Star Superman. So featured in this will be Batman and Batgirl from Jim Lee's artwork on All-Star Batman and Superman. And Frank Quietly.
Ooh, I like Frank Quietly.
I know. And his art on the All-Star Superman will feature... Superman and Lois Lane action figures done in his art style.
Very
and
nice.
We should say...
While we're talking about DC Direct...
This week's release from DC Direct, God, they do so much product. Armory Series 1. I don't know if this is going to go to another series, but we certainly have Series 1 here. Consists of 4 characters whose armor is significant to the release here.
I call these kitchen sinks.
Okay, now see, I'm going to disagree with you here.
Okay.
Because our definition of a kitchen sink figure
right.
has always been, for example, anything Batman that Batman has never appeared in the cartoon or comic book.
Okay.
Okay.
So Batman actually appeared in that armor?
Yes, he did, in Batman 630. And if I read the flavor text right. on the back of the package. I learned that the Batman in this series, DC Direct Armory, the Scarecrow is a threat to Batman on any day, but when he morphs into the monster version of himself known as Scare Beast in Batman 630, the Cape Crusader finds himself in need of a special armored outfit to win the battle.
How sweet and cute and adorable.
And it is. And the armor is pretty cool, and the mask is, and the mask comes a little battle damaged, as you see. Sure. So let's just go through these really quick. It's Batman, as we said, as he appeared in Batman 630.
Okay.
Aquaman, as he appeared in Our Worlds at War. That's going back quite a bit.
Okay.
Whose only chance of defeating the Devourer of Galaxies, Imperiex, he needed the unique Atlantean armor.
Okay.
Which is what he finds himself in the DC Direct Armor series. It's pretty cool. I mean, actually, and it's really well done and well sculpted like everything else. Rounding out the four character set here, DC Direct Armory Series 1, is Nightwing and Flamebird. Now, it's not Nightwing like you're thinking.
Okay.
Just so you know.
Who is it then?
I'm going to tell you.
All right.
In Supergirl number 6, Supergirl and Power Girl find themselves in the Bottle City of Kandor. Do you know what that is?
Yeah, it's a little,
Little city.
Yeah, the little city in the bottle.
Right, that Superman keeps.
I forget what that city is exactly.
It's a Kryptonian city.
Oh, okay.
In a little bottle.
It's like a snow globe.
Kind of, but it's like real people.
Yeah.
Okay. A religious zealot is going to take over the city of Kandor. Power Girl and Supergirl decide to disguise themselves as the dynamic duo of Kandor. Power Girl takes on the mantle of Nightwing, and Supergirl takes on the persona of Flamebird. They're both armored looking characters here, and that's their origin. So it's nice. It's a couple of different takes on some DC characters.
Sure.
I mean, at some point, I don't know how you feel about these. Okay, let me tell you why it bothers me.
You can't see me out there shrugging my shoulders.
Yes.
But I don't. That's how I feel about them.
Well, do you think that, you know, that there is some legitimacy to this release?
You betcha, Kev.
Of course, Fantastic is with me on this. And let me tell you why Fantastic and I think this way.
All right.
Nightwing and Flamebird are two characters in the DC universe who haven't been represented. Now, as it happens to be Supergirl and Power Girl here.
Right.
But it's still those two characters.
Okay, well, that's nice.
They come with alternate heads so that you could kind of see that it's Power Girl or Supergirl.
Right.
So that's good. And where I fall on the line is the Aquaman-Batman area, because is there really need to do an Aquaman-armored figure and a Batman armored figure when other DC characters have never been done by DC Direct? Well, there's never been a Blue Devil by DC Direct. There's been one by Mattel now in the animated line.
In the JLA.
But there's never been a Blue Devil, either classic Blue Devil or the current, wow, it really reminds me of Hellboy Blue Devil that's running around now. And that's one of the characters that I enjoy, but he's never been done. I mean, and I'm sure if I sat here and scratched my brain, I'm sure I could think of 2-3 dozen other characters that haven't been done yet, but we're getting armored versions of characters that have been done 1,000 times. So I'm split on this line.
All right.
I'm split. I think the Nightwing and Flamebird characters never been released by DC Direct before. I think those are cool. But I'm not so key on Batman and Aquaman.
All right, so I would like to alter my opinion then and agree with you and Mr. Fantastic, because I do agree that it's important to get out new characters, especially for people who collect or who are making a large collection of these figures and are trying to represent all the characters or as many characters as possible.
Exactly.
Who needs another Batman and another Aquaman? I still kind of so-so on the armor thing, but at least I like the representation of new characters.
Right. And not to be mistaken, the Batman and Aquaman are really well done. They're finely sculpted, and they're really both killer examples of armored characters. So I'm cool with that.
Right.
And I think they're great, but again, I would like to see DC doing more figures that they haven't
done. Sure, you'd like to see stuff that just hasn't been done yet, especially when the library
is so
rich.
Right, so huge.
All right.
Okay, good. I'm glad we agree.
We agree.
And that was Big Kev's Geek Stuff episode.
Oh, no, sir.
Oh, there's more?
Well, a handful of things. I mean, I have at least maybe one or two more news things.
Well, while you dig through those, I'll tell people about some comic releases this week.
All right.
Ultimate Secrets, a Marvel one-shot, is basically your window into the Ultimate Universe.
Ooh.
It's kind of like a Marvel... what was that old series called? The Marvel... Where they told about all the characters and the Marvel Universe?
Marvel, no, was it the guide, not the guide to the Marvel
The official Universe. Handbook of the Marvel Universe.
The official handbook, there you
It's kind of like that, see? But for the Ultimate Universe, you see
all right.
it?
I see it.
It's got a one piece of art and a kind of a little history, and it's nice, a nice primer. A lot of primers coming to us lately in the comic world, which I like because it gives you a kind of flavor if you're just jumping on. A book I continue to enjoy and continue to suggest everybody check out is Proof from Image Comics. This is issue number 4, and it is really kind of really, really impressing me. It's by Grecian, Rossimo, Jenkins, and Tyndall.
All right.
Proof number 4. And finally this week, after a long wait, is the Alex Ross and Jim Krueger Dynamite Entertainment presentation of Project Superpowers Issue 0. So, yes. This is covers by Alex Ross. These are old. Remember we talked about this a while ago and it's finally come out. They're kind of old, you know, heroes from the 30s or so and kind of what happened to them and now they're kind of coming back and... it's plot covers and art direction by Alex Ross, plot and script by Jim Krueger, interior art by Doug Klauba,
Gesundheit.
Klauba, and Steven Sadowski.
All right.
Interior paintings by Alex Ross. I mean, this is kind of their little pet project that they've been working on. Issue 0 kind of sets it all up, and, yeah,
there it is.
It's really, I'm really rather excited about this. I'm excited to see what they're going to do with these characters, these old time characters, like the Green Llama.
All right.
You know, like it's kind of, these are really old school characters. And now, of course, that Alex Ross is kind of shining a light on this. Of course, now you're seeing things like, for example, there is a complete Green Llama book coming out, which collects all of the issues of Green Llama, I guess, that happened in the 30s or 40s or whenever it was that the Green Llama graced us with his presence last.
All right.
So that's exciting. What do you have over there, news-wise?
Well, actually, I have two more comic book things. Very generic. The new issue of Knights of the Dinner Table came out, and if you're a gamer and you're not reading that book, you really should be. But actually, brand new day, The Amazing Spider-Man. Director's Cut, number 1, came out today.
Oh, yeah?
I have no idea what it is, but I bought it because I'm reading the Brand New Day story, so I can be angry and frustrated. The only thing that I see in it that I kind of am interested in, at the very least, is the appearance of Jackpot. Now, for those of you who are following the Brand New Day storyline, we haven't really seen Mary Jane at all, or maybe we have, because we've seen this new superhero that's swinging through town, or not swinging through town, but running through town and helping pedestrians and saving the day, a buxom, red-haired, spandex-clad female named Jackpot, who obviously is some incarnation.
You hit the jackpot, Tiger.
Exactly. So there it is. You can pick it up and be angry, just like me.
Yeah, I'm not really happy.
Moving on with the news. Let's talk about Disney and Toy Story. October 2nd, 2009, and February 12th, 2010, Disney and Pixar is re-releasing digital Disney 3D versions of the two films. This is all in anticipation of the June 18th, 2010 release of Toy Story 3, which also will be in Disney Digital 3D. So the 3D craze taking off. Pixar back in bed with Disney, as we know. We've always said, or they've always said, that Toy Story really was some sort of trilogy or could be a trilogy. So we knew that.
Well, there
a
were
third
so many
was in the pipeline.
There were so many unanswered questions from Toy Story 2.
Not really.
Will Han get out of the carbonite?
Exactly.
Will Luke become a Jedi?
Exactly. Really, I'm more interested in Wall-E for when that comes out. But Toy Story 3, you know, get everybody back. It could be fun.
Uh-huh.
What you got?
Hasbro will be the bane of some collectors come this April.
Uh-oh. What did they do?
In their Star Wars assortment number 200804, I've right. really done all my homework here.
You have.
They're a couple
releasing
of,
a Cloverfield figure.
No. A oh. couple of figures are being released, though, that you may remember us talking about in the past.
All right.
Like the Shadow Stormtrooper, the Utapau Shadow Trooper.
Okay.
And the Covert Ops Trooper.
Now, weren't those retailer exclusives?
Yes,
Target,
they were.
Target, Walmart, well, I think, right?
Two of them, I think, were Target exclusives. And the other Walmart, one was,
it? Was
I don't
it
think
Toys
it was Walmart or Toys R Us. I think it was a StarWars.com exclusive.
Oh, was that the Shadow Trooper?
I think
Trooper?
The Shadow Trooper okay. was a StarWars.com exclusive. Well, guess what?
Uh-oh.
They're being released on regular coin cards in April.
Okay.
Also, coming to the surprise of no one, are more of the kind of real translations of Attack of the Clones characters and designs
right.
into kind of the real, quote, I'm doing the quote thing,
right.
universe. And two of the striking examples of this coming out in April in series number 200805 would be Obi-Wan.
Okay.
In his clone armor.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Which they have previously released, I'm going to say, in an awful version.
Right.
It came in one of those box sets, those new kind of...
Yeah. Like six-figure
yeah,
sets?
Yeah, they have five or six figures in it, and it came in one with kind of some bad accessories that you put over Obi-Wan so it looked like he was wearing the armor.
Right.
This one apparently is fully... rendered and well done, and it seems to me that they've done a much better job this time than last time. And the clone scuba trooper.
Okay.
What?
Nothing.
You got a problem with the clone scuba trooper?
No, I just hope that next is the clone janitor, followed immediately by clone chef.
I think you're just negative about the Imperial Army.
I'm not negative about the Imperial Army. So well, I don't think collectors will be too upset.
I think
that.
They will. I think they will. Well, second
Maybe
market
initially.
Dealers are going to be upset.
Now, you know, yes and no, though, because look, and we kind of had this discussion earlier. We know how this works, especially when it comes to Star Wars figures and Star Wars collectors.
Right.
It's all in the card and not in the figure.
Right.
It's never been about the figure for the most part. It's always been about the packaging. You know, the figure could be a reissued figure, but if the packaging is different, that's what's really key. So those original exclusives will still hold some weight in the second market.
Right.
For loose figure collectors or army builders, this is nice.
Mm.
We have some G.I. Joe casting updates. I really wanted Fantastic to be here for this, but, you know.
He's right there.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I couldn't see him behind the monitor. He's hiding.
Jeez.
He's crouching.
You're awake over there, Fantastic?
You betcha, Kev.
Okay, there he is.
So, Fantastic, did you know that Dennis Quaid has joined the cast of G.I. Joe now? As team leader General Hawk? Ah, I didn't think that you did. See? Dennis Quaid.
Dennis Quaid.
Is that lending some credibility to
no.
the film?
No.
No?
I don't think so.
What about Channing Tatum has joined to play Duke?
Who's Channing Tatum?
I don't fucking know. He's actually working with James Cameron right now in that film Avatar that Cameron's been working on.
Right.
Not the adaptation.
The Last Airbender?
Not The Last Airbender. That alien rich one. And then two other actors who I don't really recognize. Arnold Vosloo. For Zartan, and
okay.
David Murray for Destro. I don't know who either of them are.
That's
I was relying on Fantastic to look them up for me, but he's in a lazy mood tonight.
Fantastic. Is the internet still down?
You betcha, Kev.
Okay. Well, you know, you can't ask more fantastic than the machines that are available to him. If the internet's down and he can't look it up, what can we do?
All right. All right. Why don't we talk a little bit about the Boondocks?
Sure.
Have you been watching it this season?
No, I haven't.
Why?
I just haven't.
Oh, my God. This has been some really funny episodes.
Okay.
But they are running into some issues. Boondocks, Aaron Magruder. There are two episodes that are being suppressed by Cartoon Network and Adult Swim.
Uh-oh.
Because they take pot shots at BET, head honcho Deborah Lee, and a former Boondocks producer, Reggie Hudlin.
Oh, yeah, Reginald Hudlin.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
So, according to Adult Swim, the episodes have been pulled but are being rescheduled. But according to everybody else,
they're being just re-edited.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a shame.
That is a shame. Of course, that just means that we'll probably see the original versions of it in a DVD release,
maybe.
We hope.
Maybe.
But yeah, Boondocks, way too controversial.
And speaking of DVDs, of course, right. We like to point out each and every week the DVDs that cross our desk here at Big Kev's Geek Stuff. Studio V is where they reside.
Okay.
And this week, the selection is nothing short of not too exciting.
Okay.
Monty Python, The Life of Brian, The Immaculate Edition.
Now, if they haven't released that, you know, six times prior already, I might be interested in owning it.
But have they released a two disc?
I believe so.
I don't think so.
Yeah. I want to go so far as to say there might have even been a Criterion edition.
I don't believe there was a Criterion, sir. I don't believe so.
I could be wrong.
Well, in any event, it includes tons of features. An all-new hour-long revelation, The Story of Brian from Monty Python. An original illustrated 110-minute recording of the Pythons of their early screenplay in progress. Commentary by Terry Gilliam, Eric Idle, and Terry Jones, and a separate commentary track, I guess, by John Cleese and Michael Palin.
Well, that's kind of nice. I like John Cleese and Michael Palin, so.
Yeah, original radio ads, deleted scenes. It's got the whole
shebang.
Gamut.
All right.
If you will.
Fine.
Also coming, a fantastic movie, truly, but I'm afraid is that most people will probably not pay attention to it. It's El Cid.
Yeah, not paying attention.
Charlton Heston and Sophia Loren. Comes in a regular special edition, if you will, and it comes in a limited collector's edition. In the limited collector's edition, you get an introduction from Marty Scorsese.
Ah, Marty.
A reproduction of the 61 souvenir program, reproduction of the original 61 El Cid comic book.
Hello.
Six color production stills. The two disc set contains all the usual trailer galleries and special vintage radio reviews, interviews with Heston and Loren, feature commentary by some notable people. And it's a nice set. It's a classic, one of the most epic films ever made, sir.
I just don't care. Maybe it's my faux pas. I'm willing to take the hits on this one.
And of course, rounding out our releases this week, I don't know if you can hear that. Can you hear that music? That's right, folks. It's ER, the complete eighth season of ER.
What's in this season? How to bandage a severe burn wound from cooking with your new Calphalon wok?
No, actually, sir.
It's your medical history and treatment comes from ER?
No, sir. No, sir.
Oh, I'm sorry.
This would be Mark Green getting a brain tumor.
Well, you know what? That's fine.
I'm just saying.
I'm not emotionally touched.
I know. You can't be.
No.
You're like
solid.
You're like the Calphalon pot you just mentioned.
I am.
Cannot be touched.
Right. Non-stick. All right. Two more things that I'd like to bring up. First of all, Sam Raimi.
I remember him. This guy did the first two Spider-Man movies.
Right. The good ones.
Who's the dick that did the third one?
Obviously. Sam Raimi is returning to television with an ABC series titled The Wizard's First Rule. Now, this is going to be based on Terry Goodkind's fantasy novels, The Sword of Truth. It's actually a really good series of books. I've read most of them at this point. I guess it's nice to see Sam Raimi do something for television. I guess this is all based on whether the strike ever ends, but, you know, Raimi returning to television, always more gooder.
Uh-huh.
And Far Away from Spider-Man, also more gooder. And finally, this is something that that the film buffs that listen to this show might be interested in.
More than El Cid?
More than El Cid.
Okay.
On February 23rd, AMC Pictures, or AMC Movie Houses, is bringing back their AMC Best Picture Showcase. So, in 35 markets nationwide, approximately 80 theaters, they will have a day of pictures that are nominated for this year's Best Picture for the Oscar.
Wow.
So, it starts at 11 a.m., and it goes through 9 p.m. The schedule is Michael Clayton at 11, There Will Be Blood at 1:20, Atonement at 4:20, Juno at 7, and then No Country for Old Men at 9 p.m.
Huh.
So you can go to amctheaters.com for some information. I believe it's $30. $30 for their moviegoers and maybe $50 for not moviegoers, something okay. like that. But still, five films, $50. That's not bad. It's $10 a film.
That's about what you're paying.
Yeah, so you get to see everything. So go over there, check that out for more info on that.
Okay.
That's all I got.
That's all I got.
Maybe we should take a break.
Oh, I was just going to end.
Oh. All right.
No?
No. Shouldn't. Maybe.
Well, we got that stuff to talk about, though.
Yeah. All right, let's take a break. We'll okay. be back.
Matt, I just got a brand new 2-pound bag of Jelly Belly jelly beans. They come in 49 flavors, all of which I'm going to read for you right now. Berry Blue, Blueberry, Bubblegum.
Jelly Belly is the original gourmet jelly bean, a fat-free candy with only 4 calories per bean.
Cotton candy, A&W cream soda, crushed pineapple, Dr. Pepper.
You can go to jellybelly.com to find recipes on how to combine your favorite Jelly Bellies to come up with new and exciting flavors like mud pie and berry smoothie.
Margarita, orange juice, orange sherbet, peach, peanut butter, pina colada, pink grapefruit, plum, raspberry.
And with Easter just around the corner, now is the perfect time to get Jelly Bellies for your entire family.
Strawberry daiquiri, strawberry jam, tangerine, toasted marshmallow, top banana.
That's Jelly Belly, the original gourmet jelly bean.
Jelly Bellies, available at a store near you.
Hey, this is Samuel L. Jackson from Snakes on a Plane, and you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Fuck him.
Big Bopper was 28.
Fuck Starman.
That proves your point. It discredits the boob over there. No, he was saying that there was a conspiracy. Joplin was 27. Hendrix was 27. And you were all like, was the Big Bopper 27? No, he was 28.
All right, then good.
Kudos to Starman for helping you out.
Fuck kudos.
All right, fuck kudos. What you got against granola?
Nothing.
All right.
What are we here doing?
Product review.
Oh, right, the product review.
I think we should start off by saying something, though.
Yeah, I'm going to...
About product reviews on this show.
I am going to address that right away. As always, we encourage you to go over to BigKevsGeekStuff.com. You can leave your comments about each and every episode, about the things that we're talking about over there. And we encourage that, and we appreciate the guys that take time to do that. But let's make one thing really perfectly clear here. We don't have to say nice things about anybody. So any misillusion that anyone out there has about the fact that when we say things like, I think it's the best Joker translation that I've ever seen, that is my opinion.
Right.
And it doesn't have to be your opinion, but it is mine, and this is our show, and our show consists of our opinion.
Right. Well, and again, we encourage you to tell us what you think.
Sure.
If you don't like it, that's what we want to know, that you don't like it. It
right.
It sparks good conversation.
But that
we
said,
don't have to like
let
it.
Me reiterate. Yeah, let's reiterate. we are under no obligation to like anything from anybody.
Right.
And believe me, there has been plenty of stuff that we have hated and trashed.
Sure.
In the past. And we'll continue to not like and trash in the future. But guess what? If you like that thing that we don't happen to like, hey, why don't you drop down jot down a little note and send it to us over there. Leave us your feedback. Tell us why you like it. Make your case. But if your case is simply because you don't like that particular version of the character, well, there's not much we can really do about that. But don't think for a second that you're hearing a product review on Big Kev's Geek Stuff that is in any way engineered to be anything other than honest and the truth, because it's just not happening here.
Now, again, you know, when it comes to the product review segment of this show, we try to focus on things that we like, that we think you'll like. We are negative Nancys sometimes, and we do bitch and moan about a lot of things, but you know, we do try to talk about the things that we like and we think you like, and we try to bring to light those things in hopes that you can enjoy them. So right. That's why we do tend to talk about stuff that we like more than not, but still, again, it's our opinion, and your opinion counts, but ours is what it is.
Right, and let's talk about some of those things now without further ado. Entertainment Earth got an exclusive. We talked about its creation and its upcoming release quite a while back.
Okay.
The Republic Elite Forces, there's two sets that contain, what are they, seven figures apiece? Two, four, six, seven figures in that one. Two, four, six, seven in that one. Yeah, so it's seven figures apiece. And the flavor text on the back lets us know that a secret army of clone troopers is being engineered on Kamino, created from the genes of Jango Fett, a Mandalorian whose combat skills are exceptional even among the great Mandalorian warrior society. Special clones are created to command these soldiers, but they must be trained to become leaders. Fett seeks out the very best Mandalorian warriors from every corner of the galaxy. These sergeants will train the commandos to fight and lead and instill in them the Mandalorian values of iron discipline and loyalty. So what you're getting in each box set here are the 3 3/4 versions of these figures. There's three Mandalorians in each of the two boxes.
Right.
And then there's some special troops to go along with them. In the Mandalorians and Clone Troopers box, you get three Mandalorians, Midge Gillimar, Izabet Reyu, and Dread Priest, and you get two Black ARC Troopers and two special Clone Troopers that I haven't really seen before. They're kind of marked with that Mandalorian skull symbol,
right?
That we've seen that actually adorns the packaging of this particular box. The other set is the Republic Elite Forces Mandalorians and Omega Squad. This set includes Lats Ward, Baron Apma. These names are like they've just picked random letters and just stuck them together.
Well, you know Star Wars.
Ray Braylor. Rav Braylor. Okay.
R-A-V.
What's that?
R-A-V.
R-A-V.
Rav.
Rav. Rav Braylor. Braylor. And they come with four members of Omega Squad. Omega Squad looks a lot like Scorch,
okay,
the character that was released some time ago. They're great army builder sets here.
Sure.
If you're building Imperial Army, like, I don't know, me, these are kind of really backbone pieces for you to have. These are the guys who are training the clone commanders.
Right.
So,
and the good thing about these is you don't need multiples of most of them because they're right. One-off characters.
Exactly.
They're unique characters,
yes.
I should say.
Yes, they are. And you can get these. You can go over to entertainmentearth.com, check it out. I don't know if they're currently in stock over there or not, but you know the usual places to check and see if there's if they're not over at Entertainment Earth. You might be able to pick them up somewhere else. What do you got?
I have a couple things tonight. Let's start with... Let's start with something that we know and love.
Okay.
Sideshow.
Sideshow.
All right. So what we have here tonight is the Black Cat Comiquette, which is finally shipped and out and everybody can enjoy and appreciate.
Right.
And this is the third piece in the Adam Hughes kind of heroines of
Marvel
Universe series. Of course, the first was Emma Frost. The second was Mary Jane. And now we have Black Cat. It is a stunning statue.
Okay.
Sir. I was very happy to put it in my personal collection next to my Mary Jane piece, of course.
Nice.
And, you know, at it's definitely Adam Hughes's unique style as far as you could tell it's his based on his artwork. The sculpt is great. The quality is great. The little display is nice. It has the little Black Cat on the Christabees.
Yes, Christabees, which I thought was very funny. It looks like she's coming in through some sort of skylight or something.
Yeah, she's kind of coming down from a ceiling grate onto a series of crates from Christabees. So kind of she's breaking into an auction house or something like that.
Right.
And it's, you know, it's Black Cat. So she's sultry and big-breasted because that's what Adam Hughes
does.
That's
what she does. Yeah, that's what he does.
I have the exclusive here, and as you know, for a lot of the Sideshow exclusives, especially these comiquettes, it comes with a lithograph or a print of the artwork that the piece is based on.
Oh, how nice.
So it's a fully colored Adam Hughes Black Cat piece. Very nice. I'm kind of upset that I didn't get it on the Mary Jane piece now, seeing how nice the Black Cat one is, but I kind of stumbled into this statue, so I'm happy that I even got one.
That's
so
good.
You could check that out at Sideshow.
And how Tour. And how did you? Now I know that you did. You want this at one point, but you were waitlisted.
Yeah, actually, I had and lost this statue about three times. When it was originally went on order, I ordered it and I put myself on the list to reserve one. When they announced it was shipping, I had kind of changed my mind for, you know, it's a lot of money reasons. So
right.
I canceled my order and I put a waitlist in. And then I got called for the wait list, and it was right as I had lost my other job. So I canceled the order again.
Right.
And then I got waitlisted a third time, and I was like, well, someone's trying to tell me something, so I'll
exactly.
take the hit. And I just took it, and I'm very happy that I ended up getting it, because it is a nice piece.
Right. It's good to point out that Sideshow as a company has this policy of mm-hmm. putting people on the wait list so that if pieces become available and people like OG decide in the end that maybe they can't pick up the piece that they want to pick up, and to let the opportunity for other people to get it is a good, solid program, and that's a good bonus for Sideshow collectors,
sure.
certainly.
Sure. So, you know, SideshowToy.com to find out what's going on over there, what news coming out. I really hope that they continue this line. I mean, there are plenty of other Marvel characters that they could go with Adam Hughes style. I mean, he's barely touched the X-Men. You know, there's plenty of them. So let's hope he continues it, because they're nice.
I want to talk really quickly here about Biff Bang Pow's Flash Gordon pieces, which we finally managed to get a hold of. Now, these are selling out all over the place.
Well, they are nice.
Yes, and it's Flash, Sam Jones, our friend Sam Jones.
Our pal Sam.
Yes, and Ming the Merciless as portrayed by Max von Sydow.
Not our pal, only because we haven't met him.
That's true. He would be our pal if
right.
we had met him. And there's two versions, actually. There's the kind of version with a sword version, and there's two, I believe they're exclusives.
Okay.
There's a different Flash who has a gun and a different costume on, and there's also a Ming the Merciless in black robes, like the wedding.
Right.
Robes. And yes. And those are really rather difficult to come by, is my understanding of the thing. But we do have the regular pair here. What did you think of these?
Was there a sculpt change that was last minute, or maybe a paint application change? They don't look as crisp as I remember them looking at Toy Fair. And I even went back and I kind of compared them to some of the pictures that we
right.
had taken that day. And I don't know. Something seems to have changed.
Something, maybe little bits of things have changed on the sculpt. It's not bad.
No. Again, I like them, but it's almost sad to say I was less jazzed about seeing them in person than when I was when I first saw them
right.
last year.
Right.
I do like them. I want to have them for my personal collection because they're Flash Gordon.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
They actually, on the costumes, as we noted when we did our exclusive commentary
right.
with Sam Jones and Melody Anderson for the Flash Gordon movie.
Still available at BigKevsGeekStuff.com.
It is, in both its download and special signed DVD edition form.
And they are selling like hotcakes the past couple of weeks.
So, yeah, I heard that.
You should
We are up. Absolutely at the end of the signed, limited, numbered edition of those DVDs. So if you want to pick that up, you want to get over to BigKevsGeekStuff.com. ASAP, your time is running out. There was a lot of beadwork done on these original costumes
right.
That made things kind of twinkle and sparkle. And they've managed to cover that aspect with sort of a glitter applique.
Oh, okay.
On some of the areas where the costumes would have been beaded.
And if you remember, our dear friend Melody Anderson, very upset that the film was not nominated, not even for costumes. So it's nice that they were able to recreate that in the Biff Peng Bao
right.
Figures. Figures.
Figures.
Really?
Figures.
Wow. Long day for me.
Figures. Yes. And this is series one. Series two apparently is in production now.
Right.
As we've said. And I'm happy with the results, but I have to say that it didn't overwhelm me. I think I'm like you. I'm really happy we have them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really happy we have more. But I think something was lost in the translation from the first set to the set. We should say also that these were designed by Alex Ross.
Yes.
So it's not, it certainly is appropriate for us to say that the design aspect of it is certainly top notch.
Well, he's
not
a talented
get,
man.
Well, of course, sir. But I think they're well done. I think I'm gonna get series two as well.
Of course.
I'm gonna try to seek out the other two.
The
in
exclusives,
this
of course.
You know, I gotta get Sam to sign one of these for me.
Well, we have to see Sam again. But
and
yeah.
Alex.
And Alex. I was thinking that because Alex
is gonna be
at New York Comic Con.
New York Comic Con.
Are we gonna be at New York Comic Con in April?
That's the rumor.
One would presume.
That's a rumor.
Not set in stone.
It's a rumor.
All right. I have one more thing that I'd like to go through, or a few more things that I'd like to go through real quick here in this product segment of the show. Our friends over at October Toys a couple months back kind of turned me on to these guys, so I wanted to give a thanks out to George over at October Toys for that.
Sure.
This is O'Neill Designs. That's O-N-E-L-L
designs.com. Okay.
Right. That's the website. And these are a series of figures based on original character concepts developed by, I believe, Matt Doherty over at O'Neill Designs. And then Michelle Doherty also worked on these. Also, we have three figures, two are variants, and one is, and then the other one. It's Faden and Excellus. And these are kind of like, I don't know, how would you describe them? They're kind of like spacey alien
looking
figures. It's, yeah, they're really, I like the designs. I like the unique, kind of quirky design of them,
right.
And that's what drew me to them. They're not, at first when I had seen the pictures, I thought they were kind of like Stikvas. Like, I thought they were Build-A figures almost.
Kind of
like design them yourself. But they're not. They're actual just solid pieces, kind of in the scale of a Kubrick, the little Kubrick pieces, with points of articulation. I mean, you're talking about probably 6 or 7 points of articulation, basic articulation. But again, the designs are really nice. I think you should check them out if you're kind of into that whole...
Okay.
I don't know, it's urban vinyl, but definitely worth checking out. Again, that's O'NeillDesigns.com. In addition to those, they also have a series of original mini books that they put out that are kind of based on these characters and based in these universe. The books are Sidric, and then Gear's Edge, and... can't pronounce that one, so I'm not going to try.
Someone that you can't pronounce.
Exactly.
You can probably check all these out over at, was it O'Neill?
O'Neill. O'Neill. O-N-E-L-L design.com. And in addition to that, they also have like two catalog books where they kind of show off some of the other customs they've done, as well as some of these pieces and environments and stuff like that. And I really do think these guys are creative, and I think their stuff has a lot of potential, so...
Okay.
I'd like for the fans to check it out.
Cool.
Maybe hopefully appreciate it.
Let's talk about just a couple more things before we wrap this segment
up. Let's.
If Jeff Beckett assaults me online one more time from Shocker Toys with new images of these indie figures that he's doing, I may kill him at Toy Fair.
Yo, let me tell you something. If the only thing that Jeff Beckett ever fully does completely right and puts out to market is that Scud figure. That's it.
Okay.
That's all I need.
Now let me say this. He sent me the Shadowhawk pictures.
Shadowhawk. I saw Shadowhawk also.
Yeah.
Also looks very good.
Did you see the Max?
I did not see the Max.
I did see the Max.
Now, I was reading on a Terry Moore blog. As you know, I'm a Terry Moore fan. I've always been a fan of Strangers in Paradise.
Yes.
Terry Moore, very excited about the Kachu piece.
Uh-huh.
So now I want to see the Kachu piece.
I know.
Getting excited about this line again.
I know.
I doubted it for a little bit. I'm not
going to lie. Not without reason.
Oh, no. No. I mean, you know, there was a lot of bad stuff that happened.
It's
so.
The anchor of the line for me is still Scud.
Oh.
The rest
Without
of them are nice, and I'm looking forward to them, and I'm sure that Jeff is going to make sure that we get them to talk about them, but it's still, Scud is still the anchor for that line.
Listen, Jeff, if you're listening, Rob Shreb, if you're listening, please do more from Scud.
Yeah, please.
Please do more.
Do drywall.
From, yeah,
do,
please.
Do Jeff.
And anybody from La Cosa Nostra. Anybody from there. Anybody from that universe.
Right.
Please do. Because
Absolutely.
They need their day.
Yes. And if that Scud figure is an example of what Shocker is, really, it's Scud and all of them. And although the Max was still in production, still mm-hmm. being retooled and everything else, it looked really great. If those are any examples,
that McFarlane Max piece was really nice from years ago.
And so was the Shadowhawk piece too.
Yeah.
But these are new now. These are articulated, highly articulated,
right.
and with all sorts of accessories and things. At least that's what I'm being told. There will be some variants also.
Ooh.
Yes, which with Scud you could.
Yeah,
I mean,
course.
I can think of 10 just right off the bat. If they did one with a werewolf arm, I'd about fall out. So Beckett,
Fantastic.
If you're listening, werewolf arm. There, I've said it. And finally, I want to tell you that I kind of stumbled across something when I was in Target the other day.
Uh-oh.
First piece of Force Unleashed toy to come out.
Oh, really?
Yes, it was the lightsaber.
What lightsaber?
The lightsaber that apparently plays a key part in the video game Force Unleashed.
And is it like Hasbro scale,
plasticky
lightsaber?
Right. And it's got a weird hilt, and it was multicolored. It was very strange.
That's odd.
Yes, it was very strange.
Huh.
So I don't know exactly what that means. We don't have it in studio, so I can't comment on it. But I wanted to say that, you know, it's kind of begun, if you will.
All right.
The Force Unleashed movement. I am so jacked about that game and about those products and about those figures. I'm really excited, and it looks like it's finally starting to begin. We've waited such a long time.
So, Starman, if you're listening, and I know you are, you have a homework assignment for episode 92, just two from now.
Right.
Find out what the deal is with that saber. The hilt, the color of the blade. That's your
homework In fact,
assignment.
Starman, why don't you join us for episode 92?
There you go.
There you go. Let's promote it right now. Our pal Starman to give his report on Forced Unleash the game. The product, the saber, everything, a Force Unleashed report from Starman, episode 92.
You're putting him on the spot.
I'm saying it right now.
All right.
That's like, what? Let me count it. 2 weeks.
That's 2 weeks.
2 weeks he has.
Okay.
I hope he can do it.
You better call him tonight.
Because you know what's going to happen, right?
What?
Because I'm calling him out.
All right.
Because if he's not preparing this and he's not coming in here and contributing, I'm calling him out.
All right.
Just saying. All right. Let's take a break.
And
come back with the wrap up. Yeah. Episode 90, The Rise of Captain America.
Welcome to the Nerd World Order.
Nerds are comic book readers, gamers, anime and manga fans, sci-fi and fantasy fans, action figure collectors, or anyone else that chooses to represent the nerd lifestyle. There has never been a clothing line for us to identify as our own, so the NWO was born.
The Nerd World Order is the clothing company for nerds, NERDZ.
A new breed of nerds.
A breed that's in your face.
A breed that's in control.
A breed that doesn't back down.
No dumbass phrases on NWO t-shirts. No fanboy art on NWO t-shirts. Just badass designs for a new breed of nerds.
Take one brief look at the Nerd World Order slogan, Nerds Rule. You have now begun the Nerd World Order experience.
Nerd World Order clothing is all about representing who we are.
Find the Nerd World Order at nerdzrule.com.
Go to nerdsrule.com now to enter to win a free NWO t-shirt.
Nerds rule!
Hey there, this is David Wenham from Lord of the Rings and 300, and you're very fortunate because you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff. Enjoy.
We are back with this episode of Geek Stuff, episode 90, The Rise of Captain America, and the continuation of my side towards Marvel Comics. But what we talked about tonight.
So many things.
Quantum of Solace, the new James Bond film.
You jumped right past the episode title.
I said it.
Yeah, but you didn't say that we talked about it.
We know Heroes. We know it's Bucky. Shitty new costume.
This
same
is
old
the wrap
shield.
Up. This is what we're supposed
all right,
to say.
Fine.
Joe Quesada says the character's never been more popular.
Stephen Colbert made a joke of it.
It's a load of shit.
All right. Toy Story goes 3D starting in 2009. They're re-releasing the first two films leading up to the eventual release of a new third film, all in Disney Pixar 3D.
DC Direct in September will feature All-Star Action Figure Series 1, Batman and Batgirl from Jim Lee's All-Star Batman and Robin, Superman and Lois Lane from Frank Quitely's All-Star Superman. Batman black and white statue designed by George Perez also coming, as well as the JLA Build-A-Scene Part 2. May not have mentioned this before, but Part 2 is coming in September, which is Superman and Black Canary, and a piece of Red Tornado that you can build. Also, sculptor Mike Locasio translates Mark Buckingham with the Sandman and Death 20th Anniversary bookend set.
Guillermo del Toro may be directing the Hobbit films.
Hellboy 3 without me.
And Sam Raimi will be directing a new television series for ABC called Wizard's First Rule, based on the fantasy novel series by Terry Goodkind, The Sword of Truth.
Comic books to check out. Ultimate Secrets, which is kind of an official handbook of the Ultimate Universe. Little primer, which is nice. An ongoing book that I enjoy and I want everyone to pick up and enjoy with me, called Proof from Image Comics by Grecian Rosmo, Jenkins, and Tyndall. Issue 4 has come out. Check that out. And Jim Kruger, our pal, and Alex Ross, Project Superpowers Issue 0 has hit at last. Comes with many covers. Kind of a flashback to older heroes who are now being remembered or revived or something.
Or something. Dennis Quaid joins the cast of G.I. Joe, and the Boondocks are being suppressed.
That's censorship.
Word.
I know about censorship. Batman 676, Grant Morrison, Tony Daniel, Sandow Flaherty start their Batman Rest in Peace, featuring cover art by Alex Ross, and there's a Superman Alex Ross cover also. I think it's going to be in Action Comics 864, but it could be Superman 675. I'm not sure, but it's good to see that Alex is doing some covers in DC again. Love those.
AMC Theaters is bringing back their AMC Best Picture Showcase on Saturday, February 23rd, starting at 11 a.m. with Michael Clayton through the day, ending with No Country for Old Men, with There Will Be Blood, Atonement, and Juno in between. Check out amctheaters.com for more information on this. It's a great chance to check out the pictures being nominated for Best Film this year before they come out on DVD.
And coming out on DVD, Monty Python's Life of Brian, the Immaculate Edition, 2-disc. It's got all the appropriate accoutrements. El Cid, Charlton Heston and Sophia Loren, classic epic film in a regular and limited collector's edition coming out. And of course, show favorite, ER, coming out.
Its favorite.
8th season coming out on DVD, and it's very exciting.
In addition to that, we talked about some great DC Direct products. Well, mostly great DC Direct products.
Hey, they're great products.
This is the Armory.
Yes, DC Armory. And it's four characters. Armored Batman from Batman 630. Aquaman in his Atlantean armor from Our Worlds at War. Nightwing and Flamebird from Supergirl number 6 as the Kandorian dynamic duo. Power Girl and Supergirl disguised as Nightwing and Flamebird, I should say. Overall, I like the addition of two new characters from the DC Universe to the 3D universe here in 6-inch, but I question the need for an armored Aquaman and armored Batman piece at this time when there are still so many characters in DC that haven't been explored in 3D yet.
And in addition today, we also talked about the Sideshow exclusive Black Cat Comiquette. Again, this is from SideshowToy.com. It's the Adam Hughes piece, the next in the line, a series of three. Preceding it, of course, was Mary Jane and Emma Frost.
A lot of Star Wars Army Builder news.
Ooh, the lolly.
I love that we cover that because, you know, I'm interested in that.
I know.
We all know. Series in April coming out, number 200804, will feature the Shadow Stormtrooper, Utapau Shadow Trooper, Covert Ops Trooper, all three of which have been exclusives at one time to either Target or StarWars.com or some other difficult place to get them. Now they're coming out, regular coin cards. And 200805 will contain a good Obi-Wan in clone armor, as opposed to the kind of crap one they've already put out, and the clone scuba trooper, who's amusing and a troop at the same time. In addition, I also talked about Republic Elite Forces, two box sets from Entertainment Earth. Box one, Mandalorians and Omega Squad, featuring three Mandalorians and four members of the Omega Squad. And the second box, Mandalorians and Clone Troopers, featuring three Mandalorians, two black and red ARC troopers, and two clone troopers with the Mandalorian stamp on them, if
and
you will.
And a partridge in a pear tree.
It's quite a mouthful for the army builders, sir.
It is. I talked about some great original figures from O'Nell Designs. That's O-N-E-L-L Designs.com. Again, these are the Faded and Excellus figures. You really want to check these out, especially into that Kubrick-style figure. Again, this is great creator-driven product. I always love to see stuff that is new and unique and different from everything we've seen over and over again. Check them out, onelldesigns.com.
From Biff Bang Pow, finally in our hands after I think a much too long await, is the Flash Gordon action figures based on the 1980 film. The first figure is Ming the Merciless in his red robes, a great likeness. They've done some interesting appliques to kind of get that beaded, shiny feel from the original costumes. And the second figure, of course, our pal Sam Jones as Flash Gordon with the sword. And they're really, the figures are very good. I just don't think that they're something...
Changed.
I don't know. Something changed.
Something feels different.
Something feels different. I'm looking forward to season two, and I'm proud to own series one here.
Sure.
So that said, you should definitely pick them up if you're a Flash Gordon fan. And if you're a Flash Gordon fan, head over to BigKevsGeekStuff.com where you can download our exclusive Sam Jones and Melody Anderson commentary on the Flash Gordon movie. Or you can purchase... You can purchase the limited edition, numbered, signed by Sam and Melody, DVD full of content, including the download, including a video of the download, some pictures and things, and all of that under the beautiful artwork of Alex Ross. It is a stunning piece, and we are really at the bottom of the barrel of ones we have left to sell. I think it's in the low double digits at this point.
Yes, it is.
Of a 150 run. So if that's telling you something, folks,
right.
You want to line up now and get yours before they are all gone.
Right. Don't forget also at BigKevsGeekStuff.com, you can dig us, leave a comment, leave a review, check us out on iTunes, check us out on MySpace. Let us know what you think about the show. Spread the word of the show. You know, that's how we get better and
yes.
bigger.
Oh, hey, I want to say one more thing Uh-oh. Before we go out. I recorded a voice for Rockstar this week.
Really?
Rockstar Games.
Uh-oh.
I don't want to mention any titles okay. or anything because I'm not allowed to talk about that.
All right.
So maybe if we can just put the show on hold for 1 second. And that's what I did for Rockstar Games.
That's pretty fancy, sir.
I know. It won't be hard to find.
Pretty fancy, sir.
No, isn't that exciting? Well, I'm just saying.
All right.
But it's very exciting.
I'm proud of you.
Great time. So I want to thank the fellows over at Rockstar, and that would be my friend Laszlo.
That's right.
For getting me involved over there in that project, and I am just jacked as hell to be... involved in such a thing. And when I'm allowed to tell you what it is,
right.
you can be assured that you will hear far and wide all about my involvement, my day at Rockstar. It was very fun.
Very awesome.
And
I think that's it.
Fantastic. You've been, I know you haven't been feeling well the last couple of days. Is that right?
You betcha, Kev.
So if you want to, if you're okay with it, I think maybe we'll just, we'll defer to OG for tonight's final statement, if that's okay with you.
You betcha, Kev.
Okay. OG, do you have any final words for Big Kev's Geek Stuff, Episode 90, The Rise of Captain America?
I now have a mount. That's all I'm saying.
And on that note, we cue the music.
When Captain America throws his mighty shield, all those who chose to oppose his shield are killed. Then he's left to a fight.